And you might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Thessalonians first. The first book, not the second book. Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And we were looking and understanding, I should say, for that, in the process. It is extremely important if you're going to exercise the truth of God's word, if you're going to exercise the relationship to God in the way that honors him, you have to understand the basics. And I am impressed, have been impressed by different areas and ways that the system out there, dear people, I'm sure they are, trying to seek and honor God and know God. But the system, if you're trusting the system, if you're trusting anything, Catholicism, Protestantism, whatever, in all of its different ways, you're going and trusting the system, really, to know what it's doing and to save you. And you're hoping, as you trust and grow and try to practice the relationship to God. But it is very difficult to do so. And that is because You want understanding God's word. And if you don't understand how history goes, there's one God, one Savior, one Bible, one humanity, just one, and Israel, a nation to reach the nations, and the church to be there because of grace. All of that is said a little bit. If you don't understand any of that, I don't watch them. There's no way you can come up with a healthy relationship to God. You're way off base. And they're trusting it. You got to get to the book, and I am encouraged, I hope you are, a little bit too. We try to understand the simple truth of God's word, so that we got to, I got it from Genesis to Revelation. I got how everything, basically, basic, not the big profound truths, that takes a lot of time, just the basic movement that is correct. That's very important. That's very important, and I hope you're absorbing that a little bit like I am trying to. So, here we're looking at the mysteries. The mysteries are given because of the unbelief of Israel. They crucify Christ. There's no way to understand what is happening in this time from the cross to the coming of Christ, to the tribulation. There's no way to understand it if I don't understand. Know the New Testament, and thus the mysteries, plural, mysteries. So, and not to get sidetracked to eat up the time, but in the process, we share together in our journey a little bit the mystery of godliness, Christ, in his wonderful, wonderful person. 1 Timothy 3:16. 15 and 16. Christ in his wonderful, wonderful person has gone in his most awesome way and gone and died on the cross and rose again. And so there's no question about that. And we shared all the things that said, there's no way I can get rid of Christ. I can't do it. His history doesn't allow me to do it. I try to do it, but there's no way to do it. I'd have to get rid of Israel and all the history. I'd have to get rid of the George Washington and everybody else. I'd have to get rid of them. American history is what it is. Biblical history is what it is. Just what it is. Now, what you do with it is something else. But it isn't a question of it. So now, 1 Thessalonians, we share together in the process. As we were looking at the church, the mystery of godliness, and the mystery of godliness is, as we shared, the Lord Jesus Christ has given space. He died on the cross. The next thing to happen is the wrath of God. Before the wrath of God can happen, Christ, Matthew chapter 12, verse 38, said, listen, I'm going to give you a little space. The Jews wanted another sign, and so the Lord Jesus Christ gives them one, and that is the empty cross and an empty tomb. And that's the only sign he's going to give them. There's no question they crucified him. And the trouble is, we can't find him anywhere. He rose again. And he's demonstrating his wonderful person in whosoever's that believe him and believe and know him as their Savior. He is evidencing that relationship to God the Father by way of his saving grace, so that we're able to go and look to God in his wonderful way, and God is going to show his wonderful resurrected life. In the flesh he died. They rejected him in the flesh. He's now showing the only sign. He's going to show his wonderful person in the flesh, in your flesh and my flesh. That's what he's doing. That's what he's doing. See, no big deal. Big deal. Look at us. We're nothing. No offense to you guys. We're not. We're just flesh and blood. Yeah, that's all we are. And God is showing that. That's all he's going to show to the world. Now, we shared all those little things. And then we share together that the church is representing God's wonderful grace. And as long as the grace of God he's demonstrating that, the wrath of God does not happen. And we know the wrath of God isn't coming. The wrath of God is here. John 3:36, isn't that? The pendulum's swinging. So we don't need to hunt for the wrath of God. It's right here. The reason you don't see it is because God's demonstrating his grace, and he holds it up. And it's only held up until he takes the grace away or the church away. And that's what we were looking at. God, here we are on planet Earth all these years, centuries, and God is waiting to take us home. So therefore, picking that up, if I can, just to pick that up to start, First Thessalonians we were doing, and we see it again. First Thessalonians is the local church in northern Greece. And chapter 1 and verse 5. Our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, full assurance. There was no question that they heard the good news. The good news was safe, sure, certain, and solid. And they had much assurance, as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Verse 9. And they, when they got saved, and they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They went from idolatry to God. Verse 10. To wait for his Son from heaven. Waiting. Just like we did, we'll see it in a minute. To wait for his Son from heaven, out from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us. Already we're rescued. The wrath of God is there. but it can't come down on top of my head or your head if you're saved. Can't get it. Can't do that. Can't do that. No, no. He delivered us. He became, Galatians 3, he became a curse for us. He put his head under that, and the judgment of God hit him in the head. So it doesn't hit me and you. It hit him. He took that guillotine on top of my head. I'm freed from the wrath of God. Now, and then we look together to see every chapter. Chapter 2, verse 19, and what is our hope, expectancy, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming, at his coming? And we do it again, chapter 3, verse 13. And to the end he may establish our hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with his saints. And chapter 4, we have verses 13 through 18, as you're familiar, looking for the Lord's to take us up. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And chapter 5, picking up, please, chapter 5, sliding down, if I can, to verse 9. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. No, no. He saved us from wrath. That's what he did. He didn't appoint you to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for sin for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Now, so we're looking at God's wonderful grace, and God is doing what he's doing in a most wonderful way. And the believers, they were saved, and they were busy in the midst of persecution and trouble, no question, but they were looking for the Lord. They were busy every day, not knowing which day it will come. We're waiting, God. And we shared that over in chapter 3 and verse 10 of Revelation, as you know, to the church in Philadelphia. Chapter 3, verse 10, because to the church in Philadelphia, because why are we okay? Why are we able to go even though we have a little strength, etc.? Verse 8. Verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, you're waiting for me. Remember, we did all that last time. Patience, bearing up under the load, wearing up under the load, hanging in there. You're waiting. What are you supposed to be doing? You're waiting for me. That's right. So therefore, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, endurance, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, great turmoil, trouble, which shall come upon all the whole world to try, test them that dwell upon the earth. We aren't talking about a given area. We're talking about the whole world. God is going to judge the whole world system and when he comes. Now, and thus Titus put in that part. So if you are reading, you're reading, and you're putting it, trying to put the pieces together, so you see. Titus. And in Titus chapter 2, and verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. There's your godliness in the midst of ungodliness. Righteously, and godly in this present world. That's right, we represent the Lord Jesus Christ and God in us, in Christ. We are a mystery.
that God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's an awesome thing. You represent our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 13, chapter 2, Titus. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all of that, you keep reading as you turn the pages. And where it gives us 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you will note, and we're waiting. They were waiting, well, we're waiting. And in the process, chapter 15, verse 49, all about resurrection. As we have borne the image of the earthly, Adam, our first Adam, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, the last Adam. Last Adam, over in verse 45. Verse 45, as so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening living spirit. Back over to chapter 15, and in verse, remember the image, the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to be like him. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're made of the dust of the earth. That's how we're made. God, Genesis 2, 7 and 17, 7, 2, 7, etc. And so we're made of the dust. We are dust. We go back to dust. Uh-huh. So God, you don't want this body. No, I made this body out of dust so that I would get the glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. You have to turn there. We have this treasure in earthen vessels so that God gets all the glory. So there's no way that we can, boy, we did it. No, we can't do that because we don't have the credentials or the nothing. So therefore, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so what are we looking for? Oh, hang on, we'll catch it. And a new body. Behold, verse 51, I show you a mystery. Remember what we're looking at? They're waiting for his return, waiting for his return. Not to come down to reign on earth like in the kingdom 1,000 years. No, not like that. He's coming down to take us up. In my Father's house are many abiding places. I've gone to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come and take you to my place that I have prepared for you. Ah, that's a mystery. You wouldn't do that. Yes, that's what he's going to do. You never heard of it. No, but God's trying to help us understand the grace of God and what he's doing because of the unbelief of the world system. So therefore, neither, verse 50, brethren, my flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So you can't take, remember, we shed those things, I think it's still true probably, you're shedding your body. Your body's all the time dropping away. Every part of your body is rebuilding itself. It has its all the little cells and everything. And it builds your liver, it builds your kidneys, it does everything. And it makes new ones, throws away the old ones. And you got all of that. Thousands and trillions. Doing, yeah. I don't want that body. No, that body is destined for dust. That's what it is. I'm giving you, I have a brand new body that is not corrupt. It's incorrupt. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. You shall not all sleep, but you shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Changed, yeah. That's what we're waiting for. Waiting for. Now, I don't just say, boy, hard to believe. Yeah, it is. It's a myth. God said, listen, I'm trying to tell you what I'm showing. I saved you in a most wonderful way. And I don't want your flesh and blood. I use it because Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea of the same flesh and blood. The same flesh and blood as you and I have. But he's resurrected. And that's all different. Now, so therefore, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, verse 52, at the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? Ah, no sting, no. To the world, ah, but not to you. Why? When I died on the cross, I crucified you. That's why you're saved. Reckon yourself what? Dead. You're done with it. Death has no sting. Death has no sting. No, you have to get out of this body so you can get free to have what God has in mind. But you have to get out of it. That's what you have to do. So, oh death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, etc. Now, thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So here we are looking, God, and like in 1 John we read together, We're looking for what? To be changed. We're waiting for his coming in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and we're waiting for it. That's what we're doing. So, and there's all kinds of ways to do this, and you know them. God says, I'm coming. We have the Lord's table. I do this in remembrance of me. I'm coming. You take it, what are you reminding yourself? He's coming. When you come to the end of the Old New Testament, Revelation 22:20, I'm coming. That's how he ends. He says, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm coming. Now, so we look at the clock, but God isn't going by the clock. He is exercising his unique timelessness, his eternalness. He has no past, he has no present, he has no future. When you came to know the Lord as your Savior, God gave you a wonderful relationship to him called eternal life that has no more time to it. We just shared that the other day. There's no more time to it. No more time. No. We are governed by it. But your relationship to God is not. God's just got a time schedule, and he's already got it down. He said, I'm coming quickly. That's all you need to know. It's unscheduled. It's time's already done. I got to finish what I'm doing. The last person must get saved, and we're going to be in the church, et cetera, et cetera. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, let's go over, if I can, in the light of that, that's called godliness, and we're going to all be changed. God's going to take us home, and I'll do one more thing with it. Thank you for reminding me. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. And 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, and you'll remember now, we know verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, dust, go back to dust, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. And we're relating bodies, what it is, and we have to get the new one. If so be that being clothed, we shall be not be found naked. For in this tabernacle, this body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be, we don't want to be bodiless. No, we just want to get rid of this body. We want to get rid of this body. That's what we want to get rid of. Body's getting there. And in the process. So therefore, but not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon with mortality, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Corruption, mortality, that's right, no more. Verse 5, for now he that hath wrought us for this selfsame thing, God's saved us and made us, created us for such a thing. Who also hath given unto us the earnest, the down payment of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God, we're sealed unto the day of redemption. And in the process, verse 6, therefore, we are always, we're waiting. Spirit of God's going to take us home. Therefore, we are always confident that knowing, whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. We're seated up there, but we aren't there. We're here. And Christ is there and here. So here we are, God, we're waiting. We're here, but we aren't there. It's an awesome thing. I don't understand how awesome it is, because I don't know what to understand to be able to sit where you sit, God. I have no, in your perfect humanity, I have no idea, God. Now, but, verse 6, wherefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home of the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for it. They're waiting. We're waiting. That's what we're waiting for. It's a mystery. What's a mystery? That we're going to go up. That's a mystery. No one ever heard of anyone going up like that. In Christ, to be seated. We're going up. Unheard of. Impossible. No. If he took us to the cross, our death, and buried us, and rose again to give us his life, and his life requires his place at the right hand of God. That's why we're seated. That's why we're seated there. Therefore, verse 9, therefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted, well-pleasing of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether according to that which he had done, whether it be good or bad. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and God's, that's what we're waiting for. That's what the believers, that's what the church should be doing. The systems out there don't have that. They don't have that as they should. And thus, so God. So here, while all of that's taking place, God, what are we going to do? All the while, the godliness, that's what you're doing. You're taking a whosoever and saving them in an awesome, wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, in this mystery of godliness, picking up, if I can, remember the whole world, system as it is the whole, all the, I shouldn't say the whole world, all the while God is doing this gracious, wonderful thing to show his wonderful person. All the while, the God of this world, the devil, is doing his thing. He's doing his thing. The last thing he wants is to have a human being truly get saved. And if they do have to get saved, make sure they don't live a godly life. make sure they don't live a godly life. Two things. Keep them unsaved. And if they get saved, I can't change that, said the devil. But I can keep them to do nothing and be sort of a bump on the log in time. And they never miss, they miss the whole point of being a light in the darkness. So what are we going to have, God? Well, we have the mystery of lawlessness. At the same time, you have godliness. You have the mystery of lawlessness. Lawlessness. Ah, God, you got what a program. Now, but, so therefore, putting that together a little bit in the light of all of that, in God's wonderful, wonderful way. So, over, if I can, Romans in chapter 10. And in Romans in chapter 10, picking up, if I may, and you will note. Now remember, God's going to show his grace in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and to save us in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, so Romans in chapter 10, if I can, picking up the thought. Now, what did God do? What did the law do? The law was there to keep Israel in a little jail and a little keeping them so they couldn't go anywhere as a nation. They can't be a part of any other nation. God said, you're separate, you're mine, you're special. That's how Christ came into the world in the tribe of Judah, etc. So now, here we are looking at Israel, and Israel is there. God's going to be gracious, but they didn't want all that to be under the law. So Israel said, God, we aren't going to trust you like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to just do it. God, you tell us what you want, Exodus 19:8, and we'll do it. And then they keep repeating it. As you turn the pages, they never change. They never change. All that you say, God will do. So now, when it comes to the law. So, now, and so in the process of that, that's wonderful. We're going to do it, but you don't do it. In fact, that's why the Assyrian captivity, 10 tribes in the north, the Babylonian captivity, 2 tribes in the south, all 12 tribes are kaput. They're in unbelief. We'll do it. If I was the devil and the works of the law, if I was the devil, I would be rather glad. I don't want to get rid of the law. I don't want the law to go away. Let's keep the law, because you can't keep it anyway, but you think you can by doing what you do. That's why all the religious systems are works. Works, Catholicism, Seventh-day Adventism, Mormonism, whatever you want. Works, 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 works. Got to work, work. That's what we got to do. Good, good. I want you to get all caught up in your systems. So what? You don't get to the simple belief. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I don't want you to know that. As long as you don't do that, I don't care what you do. Now, and so it is. So now, here we are, Romans. Now, what louses that up? If we were the devil. Chapter 10, verse 2. For I bear them record, Israel. I'll read verse 1 even. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. 4, I bear them record, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness. So verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Now, what does that do if you're the bad guy? Devil, now what are you going to do? Well, you had the works going. Now what have I got? Now the works, we still must do them, but you crucified and said, it isn't by works. You're saved by grace. So, now what? Having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if I can, so we're going to go down in our works. So we're looking at grace, the grace of God in which we live in, and we have the Torah. We have the Torah, which leads to the Talmud, Torah, Old Testament, the Pentateuch. And we go to the Talmud, and then go to the Talmud. Now what are we going to do? We're going to look at Talmud back 200, way back a long time ago, after Solomon and all of that, Babylonians, and Talmud. So it's all the collections of things, we're collecting things. And then we add to things, the Mishnah and the Gemara, and we add to them. So we got this, the Talmud, six volumes or whatever it is, and we got them. Now, so are we going to go back? We don't go back to the Old Testament. We're not going to read the book of Romans. We have the Talmud. Oh, we got that. And it tells us all the different thoughts and all the different writings to read them. And they're so interesting. And there they are. They differ, but they're there. And therefore, we have the Talmud. Why don't you try reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus? Nah, we have the Talmud. And that's where the script, that's where the people that know, they study all of these things. That's the theological school. We can go there. We got it. So now, having said that, here's the Talmud. And we have, that's that. We're Jews. When are we going to get connected to the simple, wonderful thing that the God of Moses is our God? When are you going to get simple things? Just understand there's only one God. And it's all clear, Old Testament, New. No. And we're going to be Islamic, 600 AD. And here's Muhammad and all of those things. And we have Mecca and all of that stuff. And what have we got? Well, Judaism isn't doing anything. And so we come up with this, and we have Allah, and we have that, and we have that, and we bow and we read the Quran, some people do, and they don't understand, but we follow like us humans do. We follow a leader, we follow the system. We don't understand the system, but we follow it. That's what we do. We're trusting in it in some vague way. We're trusting in it. And so now we have the Quran, etc. And what have we got? We don't have anything. But we got it. My boy, we're faithful to bow down at noon, etc. We're faithful. But you don't have anything. No, and as long as you stay looking to everything except God and His Word, you're going to stay stupid about the whole thing. Does that seem all right? You're just going to be stupid. You're not going to know anything. You're going to live in a system. And we got Christians all the way doing it. But we go to what? Luther, Calvin, yeah, and then the Bible. Why don't you try going to the Bible and see how right Calvin is or he's not? Why don't you know what the God said? We don't do that. The devil has his way. Now, in heaven, I say the devil has his way and the system. It's the law, yeah, the law, but it's the mystery of lawlessness, yeah, and the mystery of godliness. Now, you know, Israel followed and got into idolatry, and Israel's over here surrounded by the world's religious systems. In the New Testament, what have we got? We've got the church, Jesus Christ, representing God and God's saving grace in a most wonderful way. And what else are we in? We ought to have. Now, we don't have idolatry, not like that. We have lawlessness. Philos up godliness. That's what we got to keep it. So the wheat and the, remember? The wheat and the what? Tares. What's the whole point? To counterfeit. Counterfeit and trick. Deceive. You know, go over with me again. Over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. If I want, I don't try to want. Try not to wander. And in the process, Second Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 3. For I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent tricked, beguiled Eve through his subtlety, his craftiness. So, your minds, your thinking should be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness that is in Christ. Just give God credit for being God. You don't help him be God. Just thank him for being God and your Savior and allow him to be God. Don't try to complicate the whole thing. Now, so therefore, verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, ye might well bear with him, etc. Verse 13, for which are false prophets, false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Remember now, what am I going to do? I got godliness to show God, if the believers will do it. And then I got lawlessness to counter it. Watch. Now, here we are so far. Transforming himself, apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. The prince of darkness is going to come across as light. Not like in the old devil's food can. I still may have one. Remember little cans, devil's food? And they had the red Satan, the devil was on there. That's how I remember him. That's why I know what he looks like. Because I saw that can, you see. Now, anyway. Verse 14, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, servants, waiting on tables, etc., also be transformed as ministers of righteousness. Remember, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that what? Believes. Ah, but there is another righteousness, and we're going to come across and tell you how to think that you're going to peace, you know, I'm going to be, they say, and you're going to be good. You're safe. Just follow our system. Follow what we're doing. Follow us wherever we're going. Now, so therefore, no marvel, verse 15, transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So God, what have we got? Well, we have an awesome movement going on that counterfeits. It's counterfeiting, tricking, deceitful. Go over with me. Over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And there you go. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, and you know we did it last time, because here's our word, godliness, only in a context different. Chapter 3, 2 Timothy, Verse 5, having a form, an appearance, an outward external appearance of godliness. What are we doing? Angels of light, light, righteousness, light, apostles of Christ. We're coming across, how? We're coming across like God wants to say, be right, and apostles, and all, but we really aren't any of it. We aren't anything like this. So we're caught up in a system. That's why all the systems exist. Why can they just 5,000 different kinds of churches? How can you do that kind of thing? Easy. Because we think we're right. And this guy thinks he's right. And this guy thinks he's right. You see. Well, how about being God, trusting God for to be right? Therefore, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying, saying no to the power, the dynamite, dynamic thereof, from such turn away. In other words, we're going to try to trick you all. And thus, chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And there we are. Mystery of godliness, overcome by the mystery of lawlessness to keep us from ever getting saved and ever enjoying anything. Because who knows what the Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, remember John 18? What is truth? We got all kinds of idols all over the place. Rome got them all over. Plus we got Caesar as Lord. Look at what we got. Who knows what the truth is? Yeah. We don't know the truth. So therefore, they deny the power thereof. And to see that, catch the word form, godliness, go over to Romans. And in chapter 2. Romans in chapter 2. And if I may, picking it up, you'll catch it. I'm going to read verse 19. 2:19 Romans. And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light to them which are in darkness. Yeah. We're going to help you another way. The Pharisees, the Sadducees and each one. We're going to help you know the way. We're the ones to know the way. If you follow us, we're going to follow you. You're blind. Verse 20, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath the form. There's your word of 2 Timothy 3 and 5. There's the form of knowledge. An outward appearing of looking good, seem to be good, but it has no reality. A form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. So, yeah, that's what we're doing. And we're doing it with some measure of zeal. That's what we're doing, to go and go forward in a most wonderful way. So, therefore, God, as we go looking to God and in this awesome time, and we got to quit, but you got the idea, I think. God said, listen, if I didn't give you all this information, you would never know what's happening in the world. I've given it to you, the mysteries, so you understand. And only the mysteries only good if you know the Lord is your Savior. Otherwise, it's no good. Wouldn't make any sense, would it? The preaching of the cross to them that perish is a foolishness. It wouldn't make any sense. No, you got to be saved. So you stay straight in a very, very tricky world as we get down the corridor of time. And you got the idea. Starting to get it. Awesome. The mystery of lawlessness. Yeah.